You can turn in our Bibles today to Joel chapter 2. Book of Joel, chapter 2. It's like that song says, His grace still amazes me. Sometimes when I really think about what God has done in my life and what He continues to do and what He, when we mess up and He's there, that grace just amazes me. Joel chapter 2, we're going to start reading there at verse number 1. Just blow you the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after it, even the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so they shall run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like the mighty men, they shall climb the wall like the men of war, they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, they shall climb upon the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Turn your attention back to verse number 7. They shall run like mighty men. They shall run like mighty men. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for your presence here, God. I thank you, Lord, for your hand upon my life, O Lord, and your anointing, O Lord Jesus. God, I ask that you would direct my thoughts and my mind today, O Lord Jesus, that you would move in this service, Lord, that we would hear your voice, God, and that we would heed that voice, O Lord Jesus. God, as we put our trust and our faith in you, God, every day, O Lord, we look to you. As the days go darker, O Lord, let our light shine brighter, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks, we give you all glory and always all honor, Jesus, for it all belongs to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A 6-year-old Wyoming boy is being hailed as a hero by his family after he protected his little sister from a dog attack and ended up needing 90 stitches to his face. If anybody's read the news lately, you would have seen this account. The boy's name is Bridger Walker. His aunt, Nikki Walker, shared the details of the attack on Instagram. She wrote on July 9th that Bridger saw the dog approach his sister and deliberately stood in front of her. The dog attacked Bridger instead, biting the side of the boy's face and head, the aunt said. My nephew is a hero who saved his little sister from an attacking dog. He himself took on the attack so the dog wouldn't get his sister. Despite being injured, Nikki said that Bridger grabbed his sister's hand and ran with her to try to keep her safe. Nikki's Instagram post included photos of the siblings and Bridger following the attack, with bruises and multiple stitches across his face. Nikki said that when she asked Bridger why he stepped in front of the dog, he told her that if someone was going to die, I thought it should be me. The actor Mark Ruffalo, who plays the Hulk in the movies, responded in a comment saying, "People who put the well-being of others in front of themselves are the most heroic and thoughtful people I know. I truly respect and admire your courage and your heart. Because real courage isn't dominating people or fighting against people or walking around like a tough guy. Real courage is knowing what is right to do and doing it even when you might end up hurting, when it might end up hurting you somehow," he added. See, as a kid growing up, I was never too much into the superheroes and that, but my brother used to collect the comic books. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, the works, the characters portrayed in these books and these movies, they're not real. Superheroes, as the world portrays them, they're not real. There's no man that I know of that can leap tall buildings in a single bound, can fly faster than a speeding bullet. I don't know of anybody who can shoot webs out of his hand and scale walls. And there's no bat signal that goes up in time of trouble. They're not real. They have no power. The only supernatural power that is in this world comes only from God. But it doesn't stop the world from chasing after the likes of Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Captain America, or other comic book heroes. People want, they want a hero. They want to see justice being done. They want to see the bad guy come to that justice. They want to have somebody that they can call on in that time of need. They want somebody that they can reach out to when they really need that something to come and protect them and come to help them. When the real hero that they need is God. The real hero that they need is the one who would save their soul. I'd like to preach to you just for a little while today. Heroes among us. Because there are heroes among us. When this thought came into my mind and I started looking at it and I started looking into the Word of God and I tried to find the word hero in the Word of God, and the Word of God does not contain the word hero. So I looked at definitions and tried to find what exactly would the Word of God compare a hero to be, and the only thing that I could find in the Word of God was mighty men. There's a lot of mighty men in the Bible, but the dictionary says that a hero is a person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character. Second definition it gives is a person who, in the opinion of others, has special achievements, abilities, or personal qualities, and is regarded as a role model or ideal. It's funny when you look around at our world today. Today the world attributes hero status to many people who don't deserve hero status. Largely, they attribute hero status to athletes. They look at them and they admire them. Oh, the great feats that they've done. You've got the likes of heroes that the world would call a hero, like Wayne Gretzky, scoring record number of goals in his career and doing great feats on the ice. And you look at heroes. I can't think of too many of them. I'm not a big sports follower. Tom Brady. There's a gentleman his mind, it was with me at the beginning of the service, but I now it's Tim Tebow, another football player. Can't tell you what team he plays for, but I know that he's won. I saw this thing the other day that talked about how athletes that, and he's not in the truth, he's probably just another secular church Christian, but how athletes, when they start speaking out and they start giving credit to God for what they're doing, are silenced. They'll say, "Oh, how did you manage to win that game? How did you manage to do the things that you do?" And as soon as they start saying, "Well, you know, it's because God is with me and God helps me to do this stuff," suddenly they cut off the air and nobody wants to hear anybody give comment or attribute to God. It's funny, the names are just flying from my mind here this morning. There's a basketball player as well that I was reading about, the same thing. He attributes that God got him where he is. But media doesn't want to hear it. You see, they want to attribute hero to these athletes largely because of what they have. They like the fact that they drive around in a Ferrari. They like the fact that they bought a $6 million house or $15 million house, and they live in multiple mansions around the world. And they look at these people and they hail them as a hero because of what they've attained and what they've achieved in the things of the world. And they're somebody to be looked up to, and they're somebody to follow after. But then you read about how that football player abused his wife, you read about how this hockey player was arrested for drugs and all these things that they do, and you think, are those really heroes that you want to have in your life? Are those people that they're really the ones that you want to pattern your life after, that you want to seek after to be a role model? That's why I don't really care for the first definition or the second definition of a hero, is who in the opinion of others has special achievements, abilities, or qualities and regarded as a role model. To me, that's not necessarily a hero. Because of what they've achieved, they're a hero? I like the first definition, though, a person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character. That's a hero. Somebody who does what's right. I was reading the other day, somebody must have liked it on my LinkedIn, and it came up, and I was reading about a soccer player. His name is Sadio Mane. Plays for Liverpool. He earns approximately £11.5 million per year. I don't know what a pound converts to a Canadian dollar, but anytime you see it in the millions, I'm sure that that's a lot of money. Says he gives the world a lesson in modesty after some fans spotted him carrying a cracked iPhone. $11 million a year? £11 million a year, and you're carrying a broken up phone? Why, you could buy millions of phones. His response was, why would I want 10 Ferraris, 20 diamond watches, and 2 jet planes? What would that do for the world? I starved. I worked in the fields. I played barefoot, and I didn't go to school. Now, I can help people. I prefer to build schools and give poor people food or clothing. I built schools and a stadium, and we provide clothes, shoes, and food for people in extreme poverty. I give 70 euros per month to all the people from a very poor Senegalese region in order to contribute to their family economy. I do not need to display luxury cars, luxury homes, trips, or even planes. I prefer that my people receive a little of what life has given me, Mane said. If you want to pattern and consider an athlete a hero, that man there is one that I would consider a hero. It's not about all the things that he could achieve out of the world, but it's about, what can I give back? Blessings come and blessings go out. And it's the way we should live. I really like the actor Mark Ruffalo's definition that I read a few minutes ago of what a hero truly is. People who put the well-beings of others in front of themselves are the most heroic and thoughtful people I know. People who stand for what is right, even when it puts them in harm's way. That little boy truly is a hero. He looked at his little sister. He saw this dog coming. And it took me a while to find it, but so every time I read the story, different versions of the story, I couldn't find it, but it was a German shepherd that was going to attack his little sister. Just a little boy. Imagine a full-grown German shepherd. And he stands before that dog because all he cared about was his sister. Kind of brings a tear to your eye when he read the words, and he says, if somebody was going to die, it ought to be me. I'll die and I'll give up my life for my sister. People who stand for what is right, even when it puts them at risk. So what does it mean to be at risk? In Bridger's case, it meant physical harm when he stood between that dog and his sister. Being at risk could also refer to emotional or mental risk as well. Sometimes things need to be said, even though the receiver may not want to hear what's being said, and it might affect that current relationship. Sometimes people hold back. Oh, I can't say that because of what people are going to think about me. But when it's right, it's right. And our job is to do what's right. Our job is to say what's right. Our job is to portray what's right, even if the world around us doesn't like it. Even if those that are close to us are going to be offended by it. If it's right, we still need to do it. Sometimes that's what it's like to be a preacher. Standing up and declaring what is right according to the Word of God, sometimes the hearer doesn't want to hear. And I started looking and I thought, well, who are the heroes of our Bible? And we can look in Hebrews chapter 11 and it lists off those that we would call heroes of faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and the list goes on. You can read that list. Heroes, why are they heroes? Noah's a hero. I couldn't imagine. Maybe I should be careful what I say because maybe God will ask something of me that. But hearing a voice from God saying that, Noah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to build an ark. And I want you to build it this big. Oh, that's a big boat. God, you realize that I don't live near the ocean. What am I gonna do with a boat? Well, you see, Noah, I'm gonna flood the earth. I want you to gather up the animals. I want you to put them on the ark. Because it's going to be up to you, Noah, to preserve mankind. One man. God calling on him. So Noah gives up his life as he knew it. He says, Lord, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Lord, I'm going to listen to your voice, and I'm going to do exactly what you've called me to do. I had plans for my life, God. I had plans of grandeur. I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be rich. I wanted to do all these things. Who knows what was on Noah's docket for the rest of his life? Who knows what was in his bucket list of things to do before he died? I'm sure that building a large boat in the middle of nowhere was probably on the, I doubt that was on his list. But God called him. God said, Noah, I want you to do this. And Noah gave up what he had planned to do the will of God so that we could be here today, so that mankind would not be erased off the earth forever. Abraham, go. Leave your family. Leave all that you know. Go off. You're going to be the father of generations. You're going to be this one that's going to lead. You're going to be this one that's going to be the head. And you can look back into all of their stories, and the things that they did were all to one day lead us to the where we're at now, to bring us to this point where we're at. They went by faith, and they did what God asked them to do. They went by faith, believing in the Word of God. They went in faith, trusting in God that what God said was going to happen was going to come to pass. And God's word is full of promises for us that we just need to believe. God's word is full of blessings for us if we are, like Brother Wilson said this morning, if you do this, this is what I will do for you. And we need to trust that and believe in that and say, God, you said that if we did this, this is what you're going to do. God, you said that if we humble ourselves and pray, that you were going to hear our prayers, that you were going to heal our land, you were going to forgive our sin. God, you said that if we give our all to, if we repent of our sin and we get baptized in Jesus' name, that you're going to give us the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I don't need to tell those here today because each one of us that are here today have received that promise. But there's other promises in the Word of God that we need to trust in, and we need to believe that when God says it's going to happen, that if we do this, that He's going to do that. In faith, we can be those heroes that they believed in what God said. They believed in what God was showing them. They believed in what God was telling them, and they trusted in that, and they gave their all to it. And God did what He said He was going to do in every case. They were heroes in the sense that they gave their life completely over to God. What God wanted, what God had willed for their life. As I said earlier, I looked in the Bible for the word hero. Because we hear these people called heroes of faith. But hero isn't in the Bible. Maybe it's because, maybe that wasn't a word then, or maybe it's the fact that, because of the fact that the only hero should be God. That we should not be looking at people to be heroes in our lives. I think that would be the tough part is the fact that we all want a hero. We all want a hero that we can look up to. We all want a hero that we can pattern after, that we can change our life according to what they're doing, and think that that's what they've done, and I want to follow that. And if you're following somebody for the right reasons, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be like somebody. But ultimately, if we're patterning our life after people, if we're looking to people to be that hero in our lives, we're going to be dissatisfied. Because one day, that hero that we have put on a pedestal is going to let us down. One day, that hero is going to fail. One day, if imagine in the comic books, if all the people were trusting in Superman to come and save the day, believing in that day, in that hour, that he's going to come and save the day. And then suddenly, in the comic book, Superman, suddenly, there's a call comes out, and he knows, I got to go and save this person. And he says, yeah, no, I don't feel like it today. No, not going to happen. I'm busy. They're not going to put that in a comic book. Nobody wants to hear about the fact that Superman suddenly today is tired, and he doesn't want to give up anything for that person. The comic book heroes always save the day. But that's the reality of it, is that comic book heroes are even based upon a man. They're all real men and real women who go to work during the day, and when there's a need arises, Superman steps into the phone booth and steps out, and he's got his blue suit and his cape on, and he's ready to go. Batman goes and works a real job. Bruce Wayne, he goes in, but then when the signal goes up, he rides out of the tunnel and comes out in his Batmobile, ready to be the hero. And I think maybe that's why there are no real heroes in that sense in our world today, is because they're men and women. They're flesh and blood. And they fail. But God will never fail. God will never let us down. God is the one who we can pattern our life after. And we can choose to follow after. We can choose to give over to His will, because if He's leading us down a certain path and He's taking us in a certain direction, we can know that His hand is upon us. And then He's going to make a way for us. And even if we don't know where that path is leading and we don't know where that path is going, if we're trusting in Him and believing in Him and giving our lives to Him, we know that that path can only lead to good. Even if along the way it seems like there's going to be a pitfall. I can imagine, I'm just picturing right now in my mind that path that we're following along, sometimes, probably especially the fact that we're supposed to follow the straight and the narrow path. I imagine it being like a, maybe winding, well, it says it's straight, so I guess it wouldn't be winding, but going up the side of a cliff. And God's saying, follow the path. Oh, but God, there's pretty things out there. But what happens if you step off that path? There's consequences to stepping off that path. And maybe there's going to be things that we're after to overcome along that path. God, you suddenly brought me to a ravine. How do I get across this? And He says, just trust in me. Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water when he had his eyes upon Jesus. And maybe that ravine comes, and we think, God, how do I get across that ravine? I didn't bring any ropes. I didn't bring anything to get across this. And God says, step out in faith. and I'll take you across. We know the poem about footprints. The worst times of my life, God, you weren't there. There's only one set of footprints. God said, no, in those times, that's when I carried you. When you come to that ravine and you don't know how you're going to get across, God says, just trust in me, and I'll get you to the other side. I'll take you to where you need to be. As long as we keep our focus on him and keep our eyes on him and him alone. So I looked up mighty men in the Bible, and there's quite a few listed. I'm not going to go into, David talks about all of his mighty men, and it talks about all the amazing feats that they did, going into battle, killing thousands of people. They were men of renown, largely before their battle capabilities. Samson would have been considered a mighty man, single-handedly taking on thousands, and all the works that they did in the name of their God. God was empowering them. God was making them mighty men. God was working through them to do the things that they did. And God made them those mighty men. And then I started looking and I realized that in the New Testament, we do not find battle-hardened disciples of Christ. You don't look in the New Testament. It doesn't talk like the Old Testament where they went out into battle to conquer in the name of God. Because God had shifted. It was just like David. I want to build that temple. No, I don't want you to build that temple. Because you were a man of war. Give it to your son to build. Again, God transitioning. New Testament comes along where we find ourselves now, and Jesus comes on the scene. God comes down to earth. God comes down to start teaching. God comes down to start reaching. God comes down to start transitioning what he's doing in the world, changing the plan of salvation, changing the way that we're going to find ourselves in heaven one day, opening the doors to the whosoever will. Jesus being the real hero, coming down and saying, if somebody ought to die, it ought to be me. Giving his life on the cross for each and every one of us. But in that time of transition, we do find heroes, I believe. Take, for instance, Peter, Paul, Stephen. They weren't battle-hardened soldiers. They didn't do great feats of strength. They didn't do great feats of really anything. But they stood for what was right. They stood up when people didn't want to hear what they had to say, and they still proclaimed the word of God. They still stood upon God's word and said, this is what I will proclaim. This is what I will do. And I imagine for Peter it would have taken quite a bit of courage to on that day, when they poured out of that upper room, to go and stand before that multitude that was there. I can't imagine standing up and saying, you people are the ones that crucified our Savior. At first thought, you'd think that'd be a quick way to find himself on a cross. You're accusing us? You're telling us we were the ones? But that goes to show the power of the Holy Ghost. That goes to show the power of what God is doing, what God wanted to do on that day, because he stood up there and boldly proclaimed who Jesus was and who it was that was crucified and what it was, and it was the people that were in that multitude. I'm sure that there was people in that multitude that were there on that day when he was standing there before Pilate, and they shouted out, crucify him! They were the ones that shouted the words. And the words of Peter, the words of truth came through. The words of power through the Holy Ghost that rang out on that day. And they were pricked in their heart because he was standing upon truth. And they may not have wanted to hear it. And Peter might have stood on that day thinking, yeah, they don't want to hear this. but he still stood there and he still proclaimed it and he was still ready to stand behind it. And that's when in Acts 2:38, when they were pricked in their heart and they said, "Men and brethren, what do we do now? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And in that day, it says 3,000 souls added to the church. They responded to what Peter said. They responded, even though he might have, well, he probably wasn't scared because he had the Holy Ghost. I believe that it emboldens you. It gives you that power that he, the one who stood a few days earlier, a little while earlier, he denied Christ. Standing up, proclaiming. Stephen, a man of no report in the Bible. He wasn't afraid. I'm going to tell you exactly who Jesus was. I'm going to stand here and proclaim to you. I'm going to tell you the truth to your face. And even as they started picking up stones, and he begins to be pelted with these stones, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He knows he's dying. He knows he's going down. A hero in the New Testament Bible. They stood for what was right. They stood for the Word of God with no regard to what the world around them would want to do to them. Willing to be beaten, willing to take stripes upon their back, willing to go to prison for the Word of God. Just look at Paul's litany in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse number 23 says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Beaten, whipped, shipwrecked, starved, all in the name of Jesus Christ. All because he stood upon God's word. All because he was not afraid to stand up and proclaim God's word to those that would hear. All because when they told him to be quiet, he said, "I will not be quiet." All because when they said, "We're going to throw you in prison," he says, "I would gladly go to prison for my Savior and stand for what is right and what is true and what is honest and what is a good report." No regard for his own safety. You see, the world had a hero in Jesus Christ. And the best part is, the world still has a hero in Jesus Christ. John 15 and 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Jesus gave his life for ours. Yes, the flesh and blood in the garden said, Lord, if this cup, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, God, but thine be done. I see what's coming ahead. I see what I'm going to endure. I see what I'm going to go through. But God, it's about your will. It's about your purpose. He knew what his purpose was coming to this earth. He died so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have hope, so that we could have life, everlasting life. Our human minds can't fathom. I don't believe. Cannot truly fathom eternity. We want what's going to make us comfortable now. We want what's going to make us feel good now. We want what's going to bring us pleasure now. In this tiny drop in a bucket, grain of sand amongst all the sand in the world, time frame that we find ourselves here on this earth when we're staring eternity in the face. Where do we want to be in that time? Where do we want to find ourselves for that eternity? He gave his life so that we could have life for eternity. So you might be thinking, so Brother Holland, your title is Heroes Among Us. Who are these heroes that are among us? Well, I'm glad you asked. Each and every one of you that give your lives to God are heroes. Each one of you that love your neighbor as yourself is a hero. How often do opportunities come our way that we have to make a choice? What I want to do or help somebody else? Every time you make that choice that says, I'm not going to do what I want to do today because they need help, you become a hero. Are you going to get your name put on the paper? Is it going to be advertised on TV or from social media? Brian Beer, the hero, because he sacrificed a couple hours out of his day to help somebody else? No. That's what a true hero is as well. A true hero isn't looking for the fame. A true hero isn't looking for applause. A true hero isn't looking for anything other than to be the one to be a help to somebody else. I don't think that Bridger was looking for to have his name plastered all over social media. I don't think that was the first thought that came into his mind when he saw that German shepherd coming, thinking, oh, wow, I'll stand in front of my sister, I'll get bitten and I'll get chewed on and I'll have to go to the hospital and get a whole bunch of stitches just so that I can get out there, so that I can have some actors give me accolades as to be a hero. I don't think that was the thought that came through his mind. His thought was, I've got to save my sister. His thought wasn't, well, I'm only a little boy. What can I do? Oh, I can run and get help. His thought was his little sister. It breaks my heart. I'm glad that little boy is okay. If somebody's going to die today, I thought it should be me. So yes, I say, Bridger, you're a hero. Because you did what was right. You did what needed to be done over the needs of yourself. I believe that in the days to come, it will be those who are willing to risk their own safety for what is right that are going to be heroes. And I believe that when we stand before God, I don't know what it's like, going to be like when we stand before God. I don't know if we're going to know each other, rejoice together. Sister Peeber, we made it. Sister Peggy, we're here. We're standing on the streets of gold. But I believe that it's heroes that are going to make it to heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to be able to say, Brother Mike, you're a hero. You were a hero. You made it. Sister Wilson comes this afternoon. As we stand together, I believe that, I've said this before many times, I believe that we are on the brink. If you go and you just, I don't have a vehicle that can do it now, but you do a little burnout across a pride-painted crosswalk, that's a hate crime. It's vandalizing. But it's not just vandalizing. They consider it a hate crime because of what it stands for. Standing up and saying, you know what, all lives matter, is discriminatory. And I wouldn't be surprised if that could even be charged as a hate crime. Just in a matter of just a few years, look how our world has changed. Just in a matter of a few months, look at how our world has changed. I was just reading something at lunch there, talking about information and how the Bible says that in the last days, knowledge, I think it says that knowledge will increase. And this gentleman wrote, he goes, I thought that meant internet. But you look at how, what the internet, he says, I think that that is still part of it, but how much things have changed, how much everything has changed in our world. And artificial intelligence coming online. Knowledge will increase. I don't think the Bible, I'm pretty sure that, I can't remember the scripture word for word off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't say that human knowledge will increase. We're giving knowledge to these things. We're giving control to these things. I'm curious to see what's going to happen in the next couple of months. Because they're saying that the control that we experienced over the last few months is nothing compared to what's coming on down the road here starting in September. I will be surprised if we have 10 years left. And just with the way the world has changed in the last few months, now is when it's time to step up and be a hero. Because it's going to become utterly important that we stand for what is right. Even though we know that there's going to be risk to our own personal safety. It's going to be even so much more important that we stand upon the word of God and trust in this that says that we are going to get through to the last days. that even if it comes down to the fact that we become a Stephen, that we hold to what is true, and we hold to what is right, and we hold to God's word, even if it means our life. Each one of us, that's why I believe that each one of us, that when we get to heaven, you will be a hero. Standing for what is right, even if it means personal harm. Are you ready to be a hero? No accolades, no fame, no fortune, but just doing what is right. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We thank you, God, for the fact that you are in control. We thank you, God, that your hand is ever upon us, O Lord, that is upon your church, O Lord Jesus, that no matter what happens as the world grows darker around us, that no matter what happens on this earth, O Lord, that we can keep our faith in you. We can keep our trust in you, O Lord Jesus, that we don't know where the path is leading, and we don't know where you are taking us, and we don't know what is going on around us, and we don't see the end from the beginning the way you do, but we just need faith, God, believing. Faith, God, putting our lives in your hand. Faith, God, trusting in your word. Faith, God, believing that your word is true. Faith, God, believing that that power of the Holy Ghost works in us. Faith, God, believing that when we speak, God, that you will be with us. Faith, God, believing that when no matter what comes our way, no matter what the world wants to do to us, that you are in control and that you know what is best for us and that you will take care of us. And if it means that we leave this world, God, that we go to be with you. Let that be our consolation. Let that be our fame. Let that be our accolade, God, standing before you, God, hearing those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, I don't know where this world is going, but I do know that this world is growing darker. I know, God, that our time is growing shorter. And I just want to believe. I just want to believe in you.